Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So the title of this talk is Prayer. When I was going through, I was sitting down to work out the schedule for February. It's been a pretty slack January for us all. No outreach is planned. So I'll sit down, work out the schedule for February. And we've got a prayer and fast on the 17th of February. And I like to have a prayer meeting every month as well. I thought, is it a bit superfluous to have a prayer meeting as well? I thought, no, let's just start the year off on a good footing with plenty of prayer. So we've got a prayer meeting. We'll have it at the Harbutz's house on the 9th of February, just a week before the prayer and fast, because prayer is so important. We'll just start on that footing, and we'll go through a few scriptures about prayer as we start this new year. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, just very simply said here, pray without ceasing, or pray without stopping. So that's the encouragement that Paul has for us, to pray without ceasing. That's how important prayer is. So we all need to remember this, that we have to pray. We have to communicate with God. It's something that he requires of us. And then it goes over verse 25. It says, brethren, pray for us. So pray for others, as Glenys said then, that we pray for others. Paul himself has said, pray for us. Pray for the people that are doing the work of the Lord, but prayer is such an important thing. Pray without stopping, it says here even. Over to James chapter 5 and verse 16. Confess your faults, or talk about the issues you need for prayer. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. So if you pray for one another that you may be healed. That's a consequence of prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So there you go. Like, if you back up with the pray without ceasing, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's something that it does not go void. And then it provides an example here, verse 17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So that example was Elijah was in the time of Ahab, and God was a little displeased with Israel at the time. So Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain. And I couldn't imagine it not raining for 3.5 years. It's quite a remarkable drought. But then he prayed again, and it rained. You know, that was the answer to prayer. Paul gives that example for a reason, the power of prayer, for us to realise what can happen as a result of prayer. Over to Acts chapter 12. And there's an example here, a bit of reading. Acts chapter 12 and verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, or the Passover. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. So this happened, it started there, it happened because prayer was made without ceasing of the church. You know, the Lord hearkened unto that prayer, and this amazing thing happened. And a similar episode happened last night where Jesse was locked up and we didn't pray at all, did we? He was a little bit disappointed that we just ignored him. But it doesn't matter. The Lord answered the church's prayer when they came together in one accord, and Peter was miraculously released from prison. That was the power of prayer. They're just words that you pray unto God. God is a spirit, and you just pray to him. That's it. And the Lord made things happen. There was a consequence of this. It's when you pray, it's not that nothing happens. You know, things happen as a result of prayer. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This here I've brought out many times. It's quite a little favourite story of mine. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat, or the king of Judah at the time, to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? So it's something for us to remember as well, that none is able to withstand the Lord God. Verse 7, Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If, when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab, Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. I just love that, the way the king of Judah worded it. You know, he's abject before the Lord and bringing into remembrance what the Lord has done for him and his the people. But then he concludes and says, we have no might against this great company. There's no strength in us. We cannot fight this battle. But then he goes, neither know we what to do. Look, I don't know. I have no idea what to do. I'm in a strait. I've been pushed into a corner. I have no idea what to do, Lord. But our eyes are upon thee. So when things happen, and things happen, you can always pray. You can always put your eyes upon the Lord. When you know not what to do, just get down on the knees and pray. It's what you can always do. You can always fall back to that thing. I'm sure we've all been in a situation, myself included, where you had no idea what to do. You couldn't see the end of the matter. But you get on your knees and you pray. And pray in tongues, pray in the Spirit. And so often, when I look back, when I was preparing this, I was thinking, so often I've been praying, I was almost afraid to pray in tongues because I knew that I'd be that's a time of quiet. You know, like I was busy doing other stuff so I could take my mind off the thing. But when I was praying, that means that's all I could think about was this thing. So I'd be praying in tongues and all I'm just consumed by this thing. So I was almost, I got a little bit afraid of praying in tongues. But the idea is to persist, to continue to do it. And even if you are consumed by those thoughts, you just jibber-jabber in tongues. Just pray, because that's what God wants. We know not what to do. We are weak. We are weak before you, Lord. We know that there is no strength in us. You know, when we rely on the Lord, that is when we are strong, because he is mighty. As the testimony said, when Abigail relied on the flesh, that's when it didn't work. That's when she was weak. But when she relied on the Lord, that's when she was strong. I think it's quite a worthy prayer that Jehoshaphat said there, that I have no idea what to do. My hands hang down. I have no idea what to do. There's no strength in me, but my eyes are upon thee, Lord. Over to Psalm chapter 3. Psalm chapter 3. There's plenty of psalms I could have read about prayer. David was certainly someone who prayed to God, you know, and relied on God. He had many things thrown at him, many situations, whether he created it or not, but he had many things to pray to the Lord about. Psalm chapter 3 and verse 3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Right? So this is based on experience that David is writing this. It says here in the title, when he fled from Absalom, his son. So as he's fleeing from Absalom, he knew that when he cries unto the Lord would hear him out of his holy hill. What I like here, it says, I mean, we sing this chorus, of course. It's a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of mine head. Right? So God is our confidence. You know, when you hold your head down, it means that there's no confidence. Oh, I'm not confident in things, but God lifts our head. He is the glory and the lifter of our head. Lift your chin up, you saints. That's what God's saying, our Father. Lift up your head. Be confident. You know, be confident that you can call unto me and I will hear you out of my holy hill. Be confident. Lift up your head, because that confidence comes from God. He is the rock. He is eternal. He will not move. We're the ones that shake and move about, but lift your head up, lift it up, and be confident, knowing that you serve a God that answers prayer. And read the Psalms. The Psalms, you can churn through the Psalms back and forth. That's all you can read. Read the Psalms, all about praise and all about reading, praying to the Lord. But he is our confidence. Psalm 100, the lifter of our head. And it says elsewhere, lift your head, your redemption draweth nigh. Bend your neck. Bend your neck. You don't need to be cast down. Okay, Psalm 100 and verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Great promises there, but what it does, this chapter, it provides some framework. It says that you enter his gates with thanksgiving, and you enter his courts with praise. That is how you get into his presence, by praising him and thanking him, making a joyful noise, a joyful racket unto the Lord. and singing. You come into his presence with singing, which is praise. It's all praise. Somehow you praise the Lord. Thank you for giving me your spirit. Thank you for calling me as be part of this great plan. Thank you for sending someone to show me what's required. Thank you for even making your word available. There's so many things we can thank God for. And also, I understand when, just drawing on my experience, sometimes you just can't. It's hard. But if you could somehow just praise the Lord, that's how you enter his gates, with thanksgiving in your heart. And you enter his courts with praise, his actual presence with singing. That's how you get there. And it's in the scriptures for a reason. God wants us to praise him. He wants us to give him the glory. I mean, what great glory can be granted him, this eternal God who created everything we see, and he hearkens unto us, these little people that are rummaging around on earth. God turns his eye to us and cares for us. So praise him and then pray to him. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Like Jehoshaphat, he didn't understand, so he gave it all up to the Lord. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. So there's that warning that comes out in Proverbs and a few other places. Be not wise in thine own eyes. You know, nowadays people are trained to be wise in their own eyes, to think that the self is what's important. But it leads to destruction, as the Proverbs say. We are not to be wise in our own eyes. What we think's best by our own thoughts and our own strength is not right. We trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. Again, a bit of framework there when we pray to the Lord to hand everything over to him, which is hard. I mean, we live in the flesh. We see the flesh. We do things as we walk about on earth with others that are fleshly. And we can't see the Spirit. It's not stark. We can't touch it. But we know it's there, because we see the signs following. And with time, we get a greater vision of what it's all about with the Spirit. And I can certainly praise the Lord that it's because of the Spirit, of the blessings that that have happened in my life, to rely on the Spirit, to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It's hard with all thine heart, you know, but you trust in the Lord as best you can, and then you get more and more confident. There's plenty of testimonies here in this little fellowship of people just trusting the Lord. And it's just so refreshing when people have been through trial after trial after trial, and then they hit another one, and they just say, oh, I'll just trust the Lord. You know, and you know it's just a ripper of a trial. Come on, are you kidding me? Just trust the Lord. Yeah, they're just used to it. They just trust the Lord. And just based on that experience. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word, in other words, completely ignored her. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. And he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So this, the daughter of the Canaanite woman who was vexed with a devil was made whole that very hour. The point I want to make here is Jesus made it a point that you don't cast the children's bread to dogs. But the lady says, well, whatever, you know, there's crumbs that fall below the table. You know, like the dogs can lick up those crumbs. So if you conclude here that this amazing miracle happened because this lady licked up the crumbs under the table. You know, this her daughter was healed of this grievous devil with the crumbs under the table. And just think that we are the children of the living God. So we actually sit at the table. We don't have to rummage around like dogs underneath the table. We actually sit at the table. We eat the great things that are served before us. So imagine what miracles are available to us and great blessings are available to us if we partake in what's served up. If that blessing came from the crumbs, what amazing blessing comes from the meal itself. If we just rely on the Lord and don't be afraid to pray unto the Lord, because we sit at that table as heirs of the Father, joint heirs of the Son. We are worthy to that. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. So this is Paul. Remember, it's Paul writing this. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We know that, speaking in tongues, praying in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, Paul says, to pray for him, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So Paul's writing here to other saints saying, pray for me, that I may be able to speak boldly. I may be able to open my mouth. I may have an opportunity to speak. He repeats it in 2 Thessalonians. It says, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course, as the opening prayer said, uninhibited, and be glorified ever as it is with you. So the word has been glorified through us, with us. So pray that we may be able to spread the word uninhibited. So that's another thing to pray for, a framework that people pray for. Last year I asked the people that can't make the outreaches, you know, things are going on, you just can't make the outreaches, then set aside that time for prayer. And I know some people here were doing that, which is great. It ties in with this scriptures here where Paul is asking for people to pray for him as he goes about spreading the word. We are here. We are, as he says, ambassadors. It's our commission that we want to bring new people to this assembly, to see them being baptized, to see them receiving the Holy Spirit with signs following, knowing what it's all about. So we need boots on the ground doing this sort of stuff. But those boots on the ground need people praying for them in the background. You know, if you can't make the outreaches, set aside that time to pray. Another thing to pray for that's so important, that Paul wrote it twice, for people of him, of all people, needed prayer and needed that support. So what more us as we go about the Lord's business? Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So it's important to remember, we don't know what we pray for, we don't know. Don't know how to articulate it properly to the living God. But it says here, we can relax with the fact that the Spirit makes intercession for us. It says elsewhere that Jesus himself makes intercession for us. And it's like Jehoshaphat. He didn't know what to pray. So often we don't know what to pray. We don't know what the solution is, but we can have that confidence. You know, lift your head in confidence that the Spirit makes intercession for us and rounds off what's required, what you need to pray for. And so we can rely on that. and set aside that time of prayer, praying in the Spirit. And just on that, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. What is it then? I'll pray with the Spirit and I'll pray with the understanding. I'll pray in tongues and I'll pray with the understanding also. I'll sing in the Spirit, sing tongues, and I'll sing with the understanding also. Down to 18. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. So Paul here obviously spoke in tongues a lot. You know, he had to rely on the Lord. I mean, he goes through the things that he was shipwrecked, he was stoned, he was, he was just abused verbally. All sorts of stuff happened to him. He had to pray a lot. And here it says he thanks God that he speaks in tongues more than you all. So that's how important speaking in tongues is, to rely on the Spirit. Because Paul, he wrote before in Romans that it makes intercession for us. You know, we can have that confidence when we pray that things do happen. It is our daily bread. You know, it's our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And speaking in tongues, praying in the Spirit, so often it comes out in the gifts. You know, it's like eating. You know, you go to all the trouble, and oh my goodness, I know what trouble you got to go into to get food on the table. It's just this weekly routine where you got to go to the shop and get food, prepare it, cook it, and then you, it's what we do to feed our body. So what trouble do we go to feed our spirit? What trouble we do to make sure that our spirit is strong so that we can endure things. You have that endurance and that strength. It is our daily bread. It's so important every day. Five times a day some of us might eat. So let's pray in tongues at least once a day to make sure that we're strong in the things of the Lord. Last scripture, James chapter 4 and verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. You know, in all humility. Humility is so important. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. Again, we get this clarity of what's from God and what's not from God. And so judge what is not from God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So if you draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. You know, you set aside that time for prayer, he'll draw nigh to you. And that double-mindedness, something I've been struggling with ever since I came to the Lord, is this whole double-mindedness thing. And it's true, it's not a good thing being double-minded. Pray about it. Pray that you may get the victory over double-mindedness, because that double-mindedness is just inhibits what God can do in our lives. And so many times I personally have been caught up in this double-mindedness. But you draw nigh to God through prayer, and he'll draw nigh to you. Answer, the healings and so forth, blessings will come. And so this year, we'll start the prayer meetings and the prayer and fast in February. But my plan is, as it was last year, to have a prayer meeting once a month. It's only once a month. And we have prayer for 2 half-hour blocks where we just pray in tongues. It's also a good bit of fellowship. And so we just got this framework. Pastor Tim set it up. So just carrying on what Pastor Tim did. It's just this nice bit of framework so that we know every month we're going to get some solid prayer. And if you notice, there's a pattern. I always like to have that prayer meeting before an outreach because I know how important prayer is for an outreach. And my plan is to rotate through different houses, just break it up a bit from month to month so that we can have this prayer and the fellowship and, the fellowship of the saints, the unity of the saints is so important for the Lord. He sees it as beautiful. And so let's just dig in, the things of this world crowd us. Last year for me was an absolute tornado. It was a tsunami it was. And I actually think that the Lord set that up on purpose. You know, cheeky sod. That my first year without Pastor Tim, and it was an absolute tsunami. So that in future, I can always refer back to that year and just that it was the prayer that mattered. You know, like had to get up that little bit extra to have the prayer. And sometimes when like Andrew, which is great. I mean, this is why testimonies are so good. Andrew said a few times, like his work has just been. Sometimes he just doesn't know what to do, so he goes out and has a bit of prayer. You know, and the Lord irons it out. A few times, like, I didn't know, just this stuff going on. I didn't know the any answers, so I'd just walk around the depot for a while and have some prayer. You know, and just the prayer. The prayer is so important when we rely on that and we can rely on the Lord. Okay, thank you. I'll hand over to Lawrence now.